Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, damn, Skippy, you starting now. Happy Tuesday to you. You are indeed in the loop. Shout out to Luke. Shout out to Seth. Shout out to all you fine folks listening. Let's get it started and always get involved with the program. We need that. We want that. We desire that here. Do that by a few various mediums or media, I guess is the way that you would do that, plural. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. That's always open for you. Also, appreciation to the Mokarem Injury Lawyers for the live streams. Both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. And yeah, man, there's a lot of different places where you can catch us outside. I mean, YouTube, Twitch, those are obviously there for you. Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, your smart speaker, just let them know.
Spotify, any of them.
Spotify's got us.
Yeah.
Really?
Spotify
is that just the podcast though?
It might be.
I was like, you can listen to us live.
Anywhere you can listen to it, you can listen to us.
And we appreciate you as you do that. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans later on in the program. I believe about 12:45 is the time that I will mark there. Let's have a little fun. We'll do a little college football on a Tuesday. We'll move that up in the show in order to accommodate D'Amico as well.
I'm sure he appreciates that.
I don't know that he cares, if we're going to be honest.
He knows our rundown.
I do wonder. I like the idea of D'Amico in his office. Like, hey, let's get through this. I need to go back and see.
Let me see what time Reggie and them on.
When's the question of the day?
Yeah, let me see what time Judge John Lopez come on. Is this a thing? Is a subsection of, like, is a type of segment that I would like to do here, if you don't mind, John Lopez, because we're coming out of the bye week. I think we're officially out of week six now with Monday Night Football getting run yesterday. Both games, which I'm very, very tired of. And of course, we have next week as well.
Yeah.
But we're headed into week seven. But week six as a bye week for the Texans obviously gave us an opportunity to just kind of think about the league at large. And one of the things that I was thinking about or that I was looking at was a thing that was just kind of one of those novelties that you go, huh. Mm-hmm. And I think we all do this where we see something, we go, is this a thing? And it was inspired by your week seven opponent, the Seattle Seahawks, particularly a certain player that played for the Ohio State University, Jackson Smith and Jigba. You didn't have to do it. I was like, we're not doing the call and response.
I'm feeling generous. Okay, today.
One of many receivers, you know, from the Ohio State University.
By the
University.
Way, yeah. We're going to get into that even further. But like Jackson Smith and Jigba has been an absolute menace. Mm-hmm. And he's basically the focal point when it comes to that offense. And I don't know that anybody anticipated him being this to this degree, right? They traded away DK Metcalf, and you were like, it's Jackson Smith and Jigba and the Pips.
And honestly, I think even during the draft, I think people kept trying to put him as just only a slot receiver.
Right.
Every time you bring, oh, he's only a slot receiver.
Well,
I don't
hold
know if
that thought,
was not.
Biggie. Hold that thought. Go ahead.
Yeah, you've heard some of this when I was, because I asked you as well, like, is this a thing? So let's do a little bit of an experiment here to illustrate the thing that I'm trying to point to. Can you pull up the receiving leaders in the National Football
League? I'm looking at it right now.
All right. I would like you to do a segment that I like to call reading here, John Lopez.
Yes.
Who are the leaders? And when I, as John Lopez goes through this, dear listener, I want you to think about who are the type of receivers that you're seeing at the top
body
of
type,
production?
Type of role they've played traditionally, all of that.
Can I guess?
Yes.
The first thing I think about is like Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase.
Sure.
Just the big body receiver types.
Mm-hmm. And you would be incorrect. Well, kind of correct.
Yeah, I was like, we know that those dudes are tough.
Kind of correct. But the number one receiver in the NFL today as we sit here is Jackson Smith and Jigba.
I gave you that one. I told you up front that he has been
number
he's been
two.
Cooking.
Puka Nacua.
Yeah.
Which it should be no surprise, and it's actually kind of a surprise.
Was he kind of a slot guy? Did they look at him as a slot guy?
I think so.
Yeah, we were talking about it when Cooper Kupp was still there. Like, how do you get these guys both activated with both of them seemingly being most productive in that same space?
Yeah. Three George Pickens.
All right.
From the Cowboys. Big dude.
That's a big dude. That's a big dude. That's an outside type of receiver.
Four, Emeka Egbuka. Hope he gets well soon.
There you go. There's your other Ohio State right here again.
Yeah. I guess I got to say IO. Five.
You don't have to. There's no obligation to that.
It just leaves you hanging. There's a grammatical term for that you have to finish. Like, you have to finish something if you know it. And yet, like, if I say liberty, liberty, liberty.
Liberty.
Of course. There's a grammatical term where people are just forced to finish, you know, that thing.
A lot of you.
I'll have to look it up and I'll let you guys know. Five. Jamar Chase is the fifth leading receiver. Then Amon-Ra St. Brown, six. Here goes your Justin Jefferson, seven. Drake London. I'm talking about receivers now.
Yeah.
Drake London, then Zay Flowers.
Yeah, and it was at Amon-Ra St. Brown where I was like, all right, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, because for me personally, and I think I've espoused this kind of thought process at some point during our time doing this show together, that I had kind of had a thought about Amon-Ra St. Brown that I was like, I'm not as high as everyone else is on him because I wonder if he is the type of receiver that forces defenses to adjust the way that they play.
Yeah.
And looking at this, I go, is this a thing? Because if you look at a half decade ago and maybe definitely a full decade ago, the receivers that you think of as the ones who terrify defenses and are the most productive are the Calvin Johnsons of the world, right? Guys that fit that type of mold.
Andre Johnson.
DeAndre
Hopkins.
We were just talking about Julio Jones, right? Yeah. Like, those were the ones that you thought of. When you look at a lot of those names, even some of the guys that were like, oh, kind of big body, they get their stuff all over the field. They get their stuff a lot of times in the middle field.
They get lined up in the slot.
Of course.
And we knew that, like, that lineup, but also just the type of guy. Like, those types of guys that you go, hey, man, this is just a slot guy. Also worth noting, not all those guys are the fastest guys in the world either, right? It's not just the pure physical, big body, fast dudes. Like, it is these technicians. It is these dudes that would previously have been looked at as a level of, I don't know, market inefficiency or what have you. Those are the guys that are at the top of production in this league. And so I go, is this a thing in the league? Not just, hey, this is a thing that's happening, but what does this say about the league? And how does this translate to the Houston Texans, who have a guy who maybe profiles more as a little bit of the old school style of guy, who, although we're seeing him get a little bit of movement to where he gets in the slot a bit. In fact, the touchdown that he scored a couple weeks ago over the middle of the field, he was the third option in. And he was in the middle, you know, a nice kind of inside route, in breaker, ball right perfectly on time, placed well at the goal line. But it's like guys are getting the ball in the middle of the field and from these slot positions. And it made me think immediately about Christian Kirk and Jalen Nolan.
Okay, so this made me think about defenses.
Okay, interesting.
Because I think what we're looking at here, and hear me out, as the people like to say, if you are a big-bodied, sort of not one-trick pony, because even players like Nico Collins can move around a little bit, but if you are by and large a big-bodied guy on the outside, defenses today can limit you. They can just flat-out limit you. But if you're not, if you can go inside, if you're good off of motion, if you can go outside, if you can you come out of the backfield, that's a lot more pressure on the defense to stop you. By the way, Nico Collins, 38th in receiving.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now.
Sure. And Well, let me ask the question. Mm-hmm. Does that at all concern you or bother you? Do you make anything larger of that, or is that just
a little bit? Right? Because he was counted on so much, and in terms of, you know, being the guy, the one proven commodity on this team. But I think this is about defenses, because, you know, these guys are all over the field putting pressure on defenses, defenses trying to adjust, and then you adjust to them, and they're in motion, and as I just laid out, they're kind of moving around all over the place, and you can't automatically say, oh, there's Nico, here's the cornerback, here's the safety, boom. I think we can limit him. You're not going to, limit him a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that with anything mm-hmm. in sports, when you see something rise, it is a reaction to mm-hmm. the other side of the football, and particularly in football, right? We talked about this at one point, the larger trend of maybe seeing more running of the football when you hit, you know, the Iron Dome over top. Shout out to Vic Fangio and all his proverbial sons in the league
yeah.
of everybody putting these two high shells up. And now teams are like, hey, you're getting light. You're playing exclusively yeah. nickel. Your safeties are off the ball. We're going to run the ball and mm-hmm. see if you have the ability to thump with us yeah. in that way. I think that you're also seeing some of that here as well, where you're right. Like, again, too high shell. We're limiting mm-hmm. the ability of the super fast receiver on the outside going deep. We're limiting the opportunities when we have a safety and a cornerback looking at those big body wide receivers of you just kind of going up and bodying. And we're going to try and see, especially when you have linebacker, only a couple of linebackers who maybe aren't as great in coverage.
Right.
And then, you know, smaller guys in the middle of the field, we're going to try and take advantage of that, especially as the league is no longer thumping in a different way. You don't have Jason Sehorn out here hitting dudes like Michael Irvin had to deal with and things of those natures. So I think that you're right. There's a reaction there. But the idea that you have this here, this is clearly the place where teams are making their money.
Yeah.
Right? Teams are making their money passing the football, at least to the highest degree, with these types of players and activating them. And some of this is like you got to activate Nico Collins, which we've seen some of that to some degree. But it does make me go, we should be getting a decent amount of production out of your slot type guys.
And you're not.
Not yet.
You're not. So because even Nico Collins at 38, look at the guys ahead of him. 37, Ladd McConkey, another one of those guys.
My guy, Ladarius.
Yeah, one of those guys. That came with, 36, Deebo Samuel. Guys that are versatile in how you can be implemented are the wave of the future. You can see it right here in the numbers. I love that you brought this up because I hadn't even thought of it. I just see the numbers and say, okay, well, that's a receiver that does this. But when you start looking at it closely, you realize what a coach would like to say. We got to figure out a way to get these guys the ball, these players the ball. Figuring out a way is a lot easier when players can go inside, outside, backfield, you know, motion, all that stuff. Whereas, and it's not necessarily a shot at Nick Caley's offense. It has been productive lately. But what I think it does illustrate, you're not getting what you need out of Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk was brought in for that.
Now,
and Jalen Noel, obviously on a curve, grading him.
Well, yeah, and there's some qualifiers that we need across all of this when we bring this back home to the Houston Texans. First and foremost, I want to go back to the Nico Collins.
Mm-hmm.
I was not surprised to not see him be represented high because this offense just flat out was not fully functional in the first 2-3 weeks
mm-hmm.
of the season. So I don't know how you expect the raw numbers of 5 or 6 weeks through the season to reflect his prowess
yeah.
with that. Similarly, Christian Kirk missed the first couple of weeks
he of did.
The season as well. That's going to put you behind the eight ball. And then Jalen Noel just hasn't had much opportunity. But when we've seen him get into the game, Christian Kirk also has not been
That's my point.
As much, mm-hmm. like, now we have to go qualitative as opposed to, like, the numbers and the quantitative part of mm-hmm. this. It has not looked as impactful at least as I have imagined, and honestly as I'd seen with, to be fair, a higher quality of slot-type receiver that we're seeing at the top of this. But I am interested to see how quickly he evolves in this and in the system and this comfort, especially coming off of a bye week where hopefully you find a little bit more of a jump than you would in mm-hmm. any other week-to-week situation. Because also you're stifling a guy that seems to have some capability in Jalen Noel by not putting him on the field right.
This is correct. But Christian Kirk, 3 games, 10 catches, 16 targets, ranks 138th in the NFL in receiving. What that tells me
that's is, total yards. Let me see if I can find one that's a little bit more kind
of moment friendly.
Yeah,
but no, but I think, you know, if we're just trusting our eyes on this, have you seen Christian Kirk really fight for the ball in traffic? Really be able to and it sounds critical of him, but I think it's just his body type, the way that he's never really been a guy that can you know, that can get open a number of different ways, even though they've used him inside and out, mostly inside. So maybe he just, it's just a matter of the game plan, the offense sort of adapting to him a little better.
And I was watching the QB school, JT O'Sullivan, as a quarterback, mm-hmm. former quarterback. And, you know, he breaks down film. He actually did a pretty good breakdown of CJ Stroud versus in the offense rather versus the Ravens. And one of the things, there's like a play where it's very evident that Christian Kirk has like an option route, mm-hmm. and he decides to take it deep. And in that moment, what CJ Stroud probably needs is a dude who's just open to the flat.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I'm looking for. I don't think I need him to be the Zay Flowers and the Amon-Ra St. Brown, mm-hmm. and, of course, the Jackson Smith and Jigba, even though that could be helpful, clearly. Mm-hmm. If you get somebody who's going to put up those type of yards, yeah, give me that. I do, though, want to see him find his full home in this offense, because clearly that slot is a very important portion of what's happening in this league. It's clearly a very important portion of what this offense looks like. And right now he's not at the full extent of that. Some of that is to be expected with, you know, the late coming on, mm-hmm. but also I think that's clearly going to be important for CJ Stroud, who's already doing, he's starting to maximize what he's capable of doing and what I think his portion of this. I think now you look at some of the pieces around him and say, what are you bringing to the table to help elevate this offense? Because it's super important with this stretch run that you're coming into.
And last thing on this with the receivers and how they're using them, we do have to go back to the style of offense that they run. You know, even though they put up, 44 against the Ravens, it's still an offense that is not going to be a lot more chunk plays, downfield throws. It's a pick your spots on the big throws type of offense. So it also ties in a little bit with Nick Caley and his approach, too.
Yeah, so this is going to be something, again, I was like, is this mm-hmm. a thing?
Where, well, I think it is.
And I think it is as well, and I want to see how the Texans ultimately relate to it, mm-hmm. whether it's getting Nico Collins kind of slot opportunities, which I know isn't necessarily the fullness of this, but that's clearly a portion of it. And we've seen the early developments on that, so I'm actually mm-hmm. willing to give that a check. I think also seeing Christian Kirk develop as more of a threat there, and hopefully, I think the thing that we've all been clamoring for, seeing a little bit more of Jalen Knoll, getting some opportunities there, because this is clearly an effective portion of the NFL at this moment. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going on a Tuesday. Coming up next tonight, you get the third preseason game in the Houston Rockets preseason schedule. We are a week out from the season opening. What do you need to see in these last two preseason games from the Rockets? And I think I need to walk back a comment I made last year about a particular Houston Rocket. We'll do all that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.